Just a snapshot of what the year before was like. I just think it's important. Pastor Randy and I both think it's important for us to just take a minute and kind of reflect. Reflect on our past, all that God has brought us through, right? Even God told Israel, and you can go ahead and start recording. If I didn't tell you, I apologize. So even God told Israel that they were to set monuments right in the sand and that in the places that they had been, and that they were to tell their children what had happened, right? Because it's important for us to look at all that God has done, and because it reminds us of his faithfulness, and it prepares us for where he's taking us, right? So, and that part of today is to reflect on the past year and even a little bit of years before that, but also to look at what's coming. Pastor Randy and I both seek the Lord. I mean, we seek the Lord all the time about the direction for the church, but especially towards the end of the year, we always want to get a vision from, get a direction from him for where the following year is. And so that's what this is also about, is what's the focus for 2020? What is he leading us into? So a lot of that has already been kind of, the beans have been spilled. It's no big... because of different things we've already said, because it's just been so on our hearts as to what the Lord is doing in this coming year. So anyway, just for you know, this church started in 2015 in our living room. Pastor Randy and I, I'll give you a tiny bit of our testimony. Him and I had both been very deep in New Age in alternative religion, so to speak, and we did mantras and had gurus and all that other stuff, and I was very ill, and the Lord supernaturally healed me. I'm giving you the very minuscule cliff notes of what happened, but I was very, very ill. There was nothing doctors could do for me. God completely healed me, and as a result of that, we turned our lives back to Christ. We had been raised Christian, but kind of in denominational churches where we didn't really have a relationship with the Lord. And so as a result of being healed, we both turned our lives back over to the Lord, to Christ. And he directly sent us to Karis Bible College in Colorado for 3 years. The first 3 years we spent in Bible college getting grounded in the Word. Then the Lord told us to move to this area. We were not from this area. He told us to move here. Both of us individually were told that by the Lord, and so we came here as a result of that. We didn't have plan on having a church. We had had many prophetic words spoken over us about what God was going to do through us, but we were going to have a church. So it wasn't something that we were desiring or planning on. So we went ahead and so as a result of that, we came here. And we did a ministry to the homeless and poor. We went, and we also taught at the local Karis Bible College. We were instructors there. And then we went to, we went to Karis, and we were ministering to the homeless and poor. And then the Lord supernaturally just told Randy one day that we were supposed to start a church in our home. And so we started a church in our home in 2015. And from that place, we were in a home for about a year. Then we moved to a daycare center for a while. Then we were in an elementary school for a while. Then the Lord moved us to the Boys and Girls Club because we got kicked out of the schools because of COVID. I mean, everybody got kicked out of the schools because of COVID. Went to the Boys and Girls Club, and then God supernaturally opened up this place for us. And so... yeah, Pastor Jeremy joined us, and his family joined us just when we were in the end of 2016. So this isn't like when Randy and I got together, we weren't like, oh, let's have a church one day, right? This is what's happened has just been God. It's just, you know, and I was thinking about it. I told Pastor Randy the day, I think there probably was about 20 people God asked to do this first, and they just didn't do it, and we just happened to say yes. So we were just foolish enough to say yes, right? So it's nothing special about us. It's just that we said yes. and just to give you an understanding of, you know, when you just follow God, like everything that he told us to do, and not that we've been perfect at it in every way, but we just came here. We didn't know anybody here, but God just supernaturally connected things and opened things up. And it's just been amazing to watch him. And all it was, there's nothing special. It's just saying yes when God asks you to do something. That's all it is. And he, God, always makes you look good, right? But it's all him. It's all him. We just have to remember it's all him. So anyway, so that's where the church started. If you've been through the vision, if you've been through the new member class, I kind of go through this, but just to remember, like our byline, our church byline or vision is to know, encounter Christ, know Christ, and live Christ. Why is that? I mean, hopefully when we say encounter Christ, we're not talking about the encounter you had 20 years ago, although I hope it was really wonderful. Hopefully you encountered him this morning. Hopefully you encountered him in worship. Hopefully you encountered him last night before you went to bed, right? It's an ongoing relationship. It's not one encounter that we live off of. So it's encountering him continually and then know Christ, to come to know him deeply and intimately. Right? And from those two things, when we encounter him and we know him, we can live Christ. And it's only from those two things that we can really live him, right? Because it's the authenticity of our relationship with him that is what bears fruit. So that's the byline that the Lord gave us. And just, these are the things that as a church, we want to focus on. We want to be a kingdom culture. We're called Kingdom Life Church. What is the kingdom of God like? And we should be operating in all of that. We want to see the fivefold ministry operating here in the church. We know there's people here called to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, right? That those five giftings are operating in this church. That we're presence-centered. It's all about coming together. And if his presence doesn't show up, we might as well all go home, right? Because that's why we're here. I mean, hopefully the message, you know, message is everything blesses you, but it's got to be based on his presence. We want to worship in spirit and truth. We're not doing a song service, right? We want to have authentic worship. The gifts of the Spirit should be operating here in the church, even, you know, during what we call the pregnant pause, after the songs are over and we kind of wait in that waiting place. If you have a word from the Lord, like that's the time to bring things forward with the gifts of the Spirit should be operating here. We come together expecting the miraculous. If his presence is here, things should be changing. Right? The miraculous should be happening. That we are the body of Christ, right? And we are the body of Christ here, and we're the body of Christ worldwide. That the church model is a family, it's not a corporation. Even though here in this country, we have to incorporate, and when you have open bank accounts and all those other things, there's things required, right? But our model is the family, because that's what God wanted, was a family. The fruit of the Spirit should be operating here and in our lives, right? Love, joy, peace, and all those. That the children and youth ministry isn't a dumbed-down ministry, right? Everything we're doing here, as Pastor Jeremy always says, there's no junior Holy Spirit. So everything that is happening here in the church service is free to happen in the Kingdom Kids as well, right? There's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teacher in that room, right? And so we want to see them operating against the Spirit. We want to see all of that happening. And, you know, we're believing at some point that the Lord would give us a permanent building, but right now this is where he has us, and we know he always strategically positions us, so we don't despise where we're at. This is just where he wants us to be. But we also see ourselves as a discipleship center. So not just church services, but we want to raise people who are strong, have a strong foundation in the Word of God, and can operate in the Spirit of God as well, right? We need the presence, the Holy Spirit, as well as the Word, the two together. If one and the other out of balance, and things go a little cockeyed, but you need the two of them working together. And so those are the things that we value. And then just quickly, want to go through this, just what our values and culture are. We want to be Christ and presence-centered. We protect and value relationships, that even though we can come together and maybe disagree on some things, the relationship is never on the table, right? So it's never like, well, now I'm going to withdraw my relationship from you. No, our relationships are intact, and we may disagree on things, but we will always strive to maintain the relationship with people. That we want to operate in love and honor with people, of course, integrity, transparency, that people can, it's really important to us that people come to this church and that they can be transparent about where they're struggling. Sometimes people in churches feel like they have to put their church face on, and we don't want that. Like, we want people to be able to say, listen, I'm having a hard time, and allow us to speak into that and speak truth and help people through that. You know, we want to have a safe place, operate in humility, authenticity, have an open dialogue. We all need to remain teachable. Even, you know, for myself as a teacher, I know for Giselle and Pastor Jeremy, you know, we're the teachers. If you ever disagree with something we're teaching or we share, like we all need to be teachable. We all learn from each other. We all operate in humility, right? So it's important that we have that openness with each of us. We're very much about empowerment, about people being empowered and to whatever God has called you to. I've talked about it before. We're not interested in having one big church with a lot, like being an octopus, I call it, with a bunch of little churches everywhere. I'm not saying it's bad, but if people really were in this church and felt like God was calling them to plant a church, what we would want to do is empower you to go plant a church by your church name under God, and you would, you know, like it's not about now making a bunch of Kingdom Life Church Internationals all over the world, right? That's not the object. The object is to empower you into what God's called you to. So, but we all need to take personal responsibility for our personal relationship with the Lord, and we all need to live intentionally, that we want to be responsive, responding in the Holy Spirit, not reacting to things, to maintain servants' hearts, to operate in excellence, and also to be community-minded. You know, we need to be outside the four walls of the church. So just some homework I need to do, or this is just stuff that from a church standpoint, from our insurance policy, I'm required to share with you every year, once a year, and that is, first of all, to tell you that our church does have a sexual harassment policy in place, and that is not, in any form, sexual harassment is not permitted in the church, and if for any reason anyone ever felt like they were the victim of sexual harassment, they need to come to leadership and report that, and we will investigate it and seek to restore both the person who was abused as well as the person who was doing that, to restore both people, right? That would be the object. And of course, if anything like that ever happened, to allow the church to be the spokesperson for that, to not share that information, just to protect the confidentiality of the people involved. Secondly, from a child safety standpoint, keeping our children safe is of the utmost importance to us. So we're very strict about who can serve in Kingdom Kids. Some of the things that we do is to make sure that everybody is on the same page with child safety, and that is that every volunteer is required to go through child safety training, and that child safety training is things to help you to look for and be able to recognize if a child is being abused, but it's also to help people recognize if someone has wrong intentions towards a child. And so just to not someone who might be grooming a child for wrong intentions. So we put every volunteer, regardless of whether you serve in Children's Church or not, must go through that training because that's very important to us. just other things for you to know as a body is that we don't permit people to give gifts to children other than through the parents. Again, because someone with wrong intentions could use gifts to groom a child, and that's not permissible. So we just tell you that please don't give gifts to children without taking it through the parents first. You don't kiss a child that's not you're not related to. Excuse me. It's safest when children are older to just start giving them side hugs, right? Just be careful. And no pictures. We do not share pictures of we can share the pictures of children here in this room, but we never put them on Facebook. When we live stream, if there's any pictures like of the children, even adults, we don't show them on live stream, right? Because we are here to protect our children from someone who might have wrong intentions. So just so you know our policies. Okay, so now the year 2021 in review. First of all, our big transition, our big thing was last year, the vision the Lord gave us for 2021 was exalting Jesus. That was our theme for 20. Not that we're going to turn that off, okay? Not that we don't always exalt Jesus. But if you remember at the end of 2019, when we came out of 2019, people were very, very focused on elections and COVID and a lot of other things. And I just really felt like the Lord was saying, listen, we just really need to be focusing on Jesus, right? Because he's our Savior. He's our King. Doesn't matter who's in office. I mean, although we would have preferences of who's in office, ultimately our King is Jesus, and he's our Lord. And so we honor him, right? And so just really wanting to bring this back to him. So for the year, the Lord put it on my heart to do a verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of John, which I'm still in. I don't feel too bad, though, because Pastor Randy and I were talking to Jeremy. Some of you know, I'm not Jeremy, but Raphael in Colombia. And he's been doing 1 Corinthians on his Wednesday studies for 70 weeks now. 70 weeks. So I felt pretty good. But I said to him, I said, you can take one verse and make a whole message out of it. And he's like, yeah, you can. It basically, I guess he's done that. I wonder how many verses are in 1 Corinthians. Anyway, so... excuse me. Anyway, so I did that series, and then we had awesome series two by Pastor Jeremy. He spoke on baptism, seeing the Father, free to choose, and a table in the midst of your enemies. And Giselle did some teachings on healings and Romans, the gospel, and faith and unbelief. And so we one of the things we do is really want people to be, again, hold on a second, I've got something in my throat. I think I'm okay right now, but really want people to be grounded in the Word. It's really important to us. That's why I love doing verse-by-verse studies, because you go through the hard verses, the verses that people don't want to talk about. We need to look at them, and we need to reconcile them, right? You know, when, hold on a second, I need some water. When COVID hit, excuse me, Daniel Kalenda made a comment that really struck my heart. And he said that one thing that really bothered him about COVID is how people were lost when the church shut down. And how come husbands couldn't run a church service in their own home? Why were they dependent on the church? And that really struck my heart. And it was like, that, I don't want that ever to be said about our church. That when, if we ever had to be shut down and we couldn't communicate with you guys, that I would be comfortable and confident that you were still in the Word. You were still going through verse by verse. And hopefully, by like what I do on Sundays when I go verse by verse, hopefully that's teaching you how to go verse by verse and how you can get so much out of one verse, right? So we have to be grounded in the Word. We have to be grounded in the Word. So that's when it's really in our heart. But we still need to be able to move in the Spirit. Right? To move in the Spirit, to be sensitive to the Spirit. And if you read the Word without the Spirit, you're not going to get far anyway. Right? You need the Spirit of God to help you interpret the Word. So that was the year. And again, we're not exalting Jesus anymore. If anything, we're going to exalt him even more. Amen? So the big transition, I think, for this year was the fact that we moved here to the Sheraton Hotel. This was totally a boon from God. If you remember 2020, we were supposed to have Brian Guerin come, but we had to cancel it because of COVID. And so he came in 2021. It was actually on Amy's heart to not go back to the hotel we had actually originally had it in. And so she found this hotel. And as a result of Brian Guerin, we had the Boys and Girls Club had closed down for us. So Pastor Randy connected with the contact here, and she said we could start having church services here. So God works things together super good, always for us. And so this has been such a boon for us. I think this being in this facility. Amen. The guest speakers we had last year, if you can remember, we had Ella Onakoya at the end of the year. We also had Brian Guerin and Brian and Sue Nutman. So those were three guest speakers that we brought in. Of course, Brian Guerin, we had a lot of people come, which was really great. So 2021, we continued our Kingdom Life study group, which is on Wednesday nights on Zoom. We go verse by verse. Right now, we're in the book of Hebrews. We'll see how long that goes. But it's really, really rich. And so I would encourage you, if you felt led to join us on that study. The next thing is the foundations classes. These actually started in September of 2020. We were in the Boys and Girls Club. I remember the Lord speaking to me that summer and saying to me, because it's been on our heart to have a discipleship center for a long time. And so in the summer, he said to me, I want you to start the discipleship center in September. So we started our little 9 o'clock class from 9 to 9:45, and we used the discipleship evangelism material, and we started that. And then when we kind of went through that relatively quickly, then we started doing the Spirit, Soul, and Body class, and then brought that over here, and that has continued to grow, and now we're doing two classes, and I'm not opposed to doing three, and I'll show you why in a little bit, but that started in September of 2020, and it's grown, and those are doing really well. The people who are going to them are really blessed by them, so that's been good, but that's the beginning of our discipleship center. That's the beginning of it. So we had the Men of Honor and Women of His Presence group meeting all year long. We did the books Unpunishable and Culture of Honor by Danny Silk. If you have not read those books, I would strongly encourage you to read them. They're really important books that are a foundation for the culture in this church. And so I would really encourage you to read them. So we had those books. Both groups went through them. But then we also had the men's retreat and the women's retreat. The men's retreat was in August 26th through 29th, and we had the theme Exalting Jesus. They had 15 men in attendance. And the women's retreat was October 7th through 10th, and we had 22 women in attendance, but we kind of got cheated at the very end because we had like almost 30 women registered, and then we had a bunch of COVID hit and other things happened, so women couldn't come. But it's going to be different this year. So really great groups. Again, I'm going to talk about them a little bit more, but these groups, or this group is a particular men and women group, is so important at building relationships in the church. What's so important to us as a leadership team is that we build relationships with one another, because that's what's going to get us through any difficult times to come, right? If you can't, you know, if we as a group can't even decide on the color of a carpet, we're in trouble. Right? So we need to be able to work together as groups, do relationships together, do life together. That's what keeps us invested. That's what keeps us together, is the relationships we have with one another. And so the men's and women's group are a really important piece of that. And the retreat is a big piece of that, because that's when you get to go away for several days and you work together before the retreat. You go away for several days and really get to know each other and hear each other's hearts and see the giftings and callings in people. So they're a very important piece of what we do here, is the men's and women's group. Pastor Jeremy heads up the Kingdom Parents Group, and last year we did the book, The Five Love Languages of Children, which was really helpful. It was a really good book, good group. And then this year, 2021, we had our very own little children's play for Christmas. Now, you have to remember, when we first started a children's program, we were at the Spring Valley Elementary School, and there were two children in it named Brooke and Kaylin. And Pastor Jeremy and Beth were the leaders of it. So basically, their four people would go off into a separate room. The family would go to a room during church. But we were believing for more to come. And the more have come. So it's just so exciting that that Kingdom Kids is growing. Emily's done a great job as the leader of that. She's just a wonderful, she's so anointed for that. And she's got a great team of people. If you remember, also, we added the what we call family room, where we live stream the service so that people with young children can go in there and watch the service without being distracting. So, and there's great curriculum that we're using as well in that. So that was really such a beautiful thing this year, is to have that growth. So so we have the youth group in 2021. So these are, if you can see the five of them, there's Tyler and the other four there, because Tyler's not in either of those pictures, but he's in that middle one kind of hiding behind Daniel. So we have that's our youth group. And such a great thing to have that this year. It's been, for Pastor Jeremy and Beth and Victoria and Jean, it's been very different for them in bringing the youth group up, because it's different from a church where you've had children in like Kingdom Kids for all these years, and then you bring them to youth group so you know the foundation that they all have, right? So these children all came together with all different foundations. So the job that they've really had is to work through and do the right things that these children need. So they took them through some of the discipleship evangelism program. They've talked to them about what salvation is and baptism. They've gone through a little bit of spirit, soul, and body, and right now they're going through Keep Your Love On for the youth. So Keep Your Love On, that we did here as a church, a youth version of that. So that's been exciting. And if you remember, they got water baptized, and they also did help host the Christmas thing for us as well. So in November, we did a leadership retreat. We normally go away, but this year, just because of some different circumstances, we actually stayed locally, and Peggy hosted us. And so the leadership team goes away once a year for like this year, that year, it was November 7th through 10th. And we usually have a book that we read through that year, and then we just really discuss the material. Again, trying to make sure that we build relationships with one another, because if the leadership team is not unified, the church won't be. Because as the head is, so is the rest of the body. So it's very important to us that we build relationships between our leaders of doing life together, right? And so that's been a big piece of things. So we did that in November. And I would highly recommend this book, The Calling Journey. It's talking about the stages of growth for a leadership call. So just really, was really good. So we did a church picnic and water baptisms. Nobody took any casual pictures of the church picnic. So all I had was pictures of the baptism. But we did, it was wonderful. We had four adults and eight children got baptized. It was so great to see the young children get baptized. So we had that this year at the Cameron's home. We're so grateful for them and having that facility, that place for us to do these water baptisms. And this year, that pool is a little deeper than the one before. So then we had our church fellowship meal as well. That everybody was here for, and so grateful to Maureen who took those great pictures for us. That was a great time together, and it was great to have it here at the hotel as well. So we ended the year with that. In 2021, we had 9 people join the church. Angela Cabezas, Joseph Rosmus, Caitlin Dempsey, Linda Sickles, Michael Webb, Miriam Banks, Sean Banks, Shirley Williams, and Timothy Sicily all joined the church in 2021. So we are grateful to have you guys on with us. Amen? Amen. So now I just want to talk about some transitions and milestones. And I want to start this section off by honoring a really awesome family in our church, and that's the Cameron family. Because in September of this year, you know, in the early part of the year, they were the first family to announce that they were going to have another addition to their family. And after that, 2 more families got up and announced that they were going to have another child. And then the Bowmans joined us, and she was already pregnant. So we had 4 children that were all due in the fall. And the Cameron family, as you know, their son Murphy was born on September 21st, but he also went home to be with the Lord on the 21st of September. And I just really want to honor them because that was a really challenging situation. And so many people could have walked away from the Lord, could have walked away from the church, could have walked away. But you guys were amazing. You're really amazing. Morgan came to the women's retreat right after that and spent time with us. And just the strength and the courage that they have shown to walk through this has been such a demonstration to all of us of their integrity, but also the faithfulness of God and the strength of their marriage, the strength of their family. And so it's just a privilege to have you guys as part of our family. We love you so much. And we're great. We're looking forward to the way the Lord is going to redeem everything because he's just so faithful. I want to applaud you guys. On October 12th, Talia Elena Jean Comrie was added to our church family. On November 2nd, Emmanuel Prophet Justilian was added to our church family. And on November 9th, Josiah Alexander Bowman was added to our church family. We had said we wanted our children's church to grow. We just didn't realize it was going to grow from the inside. But it's just been really wonderful to have everyone. And so we also had some celebration of life services. I don't know if many of you know, but Adenyi Ojitoku, his wife Elizabeth, she continues to come on the Wednesday studies, but they lived locally and got in touch with us in 2020 because he was struggling with cancer. They had heard of our church and they contacted Pastor Randy and I. And so we started ministering to them. They never physically have been to this church, but they've joined the church. They've been on live stream services and stuff. So Pastor Randy and I ministered to them. Pastor Randy went over to their house a lot. Claudia Evans was over at their house and ministering to them. But in January, he passed on, and we did a celebration of life service for him. Then in April, if you remember, Angela Cabezas came to the church with her son David, and her husband Herman had earlier, like a week before that, heard of our church and had decided that they were going to come. But that Wednesday, he passed away. She still came that Sunday with her son David, which I think is just such courage. And she's been at this church ever since, and we did his celebration of life service as well. And of course, Murphy Cole Cameron passed in September. And then Pastor Mark McKinney was not a member of this church, but he was on our accountability board. And he was a pastor of New Life Church. Many of you may have heard the story in the news of him. But he was out with some people at an outside place, like at a to-go thing, standing there, and a car jumped the curb and hit him, and he died. And it's a great loss to the body of Christ. He was young. He was young because he's my age. he was a young man. That's young. It's very young. But just really want to honor him. Pastor Rainey and I went to the service, as I think Megan was there as well, because he was a great man of God. He was a great influence in our life. We attended that church for many years, and he brought us into church leadership and taught us a lot. And so just really want to honor his life as well. So that was in October of 2021. So I want to look at the financials. We always do this every year. The church is in a great position. What first we want to look at, of all the income that came into the church, 87% of the money that came in came from tithes and offerings. So that would be either through the box here or through people who give online. We always break it down, like, where did the money come from? So 87% of it came from tithes and offerings. 3% is direct, what we call direct public financial support. I like to break that out for you just to know that that 3% is people who sow into this church on a monthly basis. They tithe, but they don't come to this church. They just believe in this church. They believe in what God is doing here, and so they send in a monthly tithe to this church. We probably won't designate that next year just because it becomes too complicated. I know who those people are, but when stuff goes into the bucket, it's not easy for everybody to know that. So, but just for you know, there's people who sow regularly into this church. 6% of the money that came in was actually designated for our building fund. And then the other 4% comes like when we have guest speakers or people have designated for benevolence fund or other income. Also, interest. We've taken a chunk of money and put it into a credit union money market fund just to earn more interest for us. So the interest is in that bucket as well. So the increase, the giving between last year for 2020 and 2021 gave increased by about 8%. Now, if you remember, last year, the tithes and offerings were 95% of the giving, but this year, because there was more money in building fund, because direct public support has stayed pretty stable, about 3%, but the building fund, because it was 6%, it reduced the amount from tithes and offerings. So then we look at the expenses. So the big thing that's gone up here, you would notice, is rent, and that's because this place is a little bit pricier than where we've been before. but if you look at what we get here and what we pay, what we would pay to have any kind of similar setup, we are in a really, we are blessed financially to be here. We with Christina and Pastor Randy and I and the board looked around to try to find our own building, and it is extremely expensive around here. And a lot of them are asking for, you know, a lease for, like, some of them for like 5-year lease. And you can't even, if we were to get a building that could seat maybe 80 people, but if you guarantee a 5-year lease, what if we grow to 120 people, or when we grow to 100, whatever? You know what I'm saying? Like, we need to have a place that's flexible enough that we can grow and has the room for that. But to get something that is big enough to include where we're at now, plus the growth we want to see, is very pricey. And then when you start adding classrooms that we want to have, it's just, and then if you put in offices. So when you look at this, what we're here, and 24% is pretty much standard for a church. So it's not like we're out of line. That's pretty standard for a church, what they pay for their building. So as a percent of our income, that's not unreasonable. But if you look at what we get and the availability for us to expand here is really great. Now, the only caveat we have with the Sheraton is that this room is used the least of any of their rooms because it's so specific for its design. So, but if they ever have a Sunday where they need this room, we will move to another room. Like, that's their number one priority is they're a convention center. So they move us around as they need to based on what other demands they have on their facility. Salaries has gone up a little bit from last year. That's because, or from 2020. So that's because in 2021, the board voted to give Pastor Randy an increase. I got a little bit of an increase. He got because he was being paid very low. So he's more higher as well. So the three people who are being compensated now are Pastor Randy, Pastor Jeremy, and I. General administrative expenses, that's just kind of the, you know, like your pens, pencils, paper, copier paper, toner, Just the stuff that it takes to run a church, you know, and like our monthly fees for, because we pay a monthly fee to have Tylee and a monthly fee to have our website and things like that. So that all goes into general administrative expenses. Church activities, that would be like when we have our church picnic, when we had our Christmas fellowship meal, just things we do as a church, right? Those go in that bucket. Leadership and volunteers, that would be what we spent like for the retreat when we do background checks or any kind of training for volunteers. Guest speakers was 8% because a big chunk of that was Brian Guerin, right? So the year before in 2020, we weren't able to bring in guest speakers. I think we only had Brian and Sue Nutman. And then we got somebody from Lee Boyd from Greensboro in. But so we had a bigger chunk of our money went to guest speakers because we brought more guest speakers in this year because we couldn't do things last year. Missions and benevolence, that's the money that we tithe out to different organizations. And it also includes any outreach that we've done as well as benevolence that we've done for people in the church who might have financial need. And then the money for the children's program and the youth and the life groups is 3%. So our net income, so that the money that we were able to put away was 26% of the money we brought in, we were able to put into the bank account, okay, which I think is pretty good. Now, last year it was higher than that. Last year it was 43%, but the reason why is because, first of all, our rental expenses were a lot less, but we couldn't do as much because of COVID. Like, we couldn't bring in Brian Guerin. We couldn't, we were very limited in what we were able to do. So that's where the church is. Let me just see, whatever. Last year also we increased in fixed assets by 5% of our income went to fixed assets because we bought a lot of live streaming equipment, which we didn't have to do this year. So, but our rent last year was only 14%. Right? So moving from the Boys and Girls Club. But I mean, the Boys and Girls Club, the acoustics were terrible. The setup was really hard. I mean, what we had to go through to set that place up every week was just a lot. So this is really, again, when you look at what we're getting for what we would have to pay, this is really a good deal. And they're very appreciative of us. They're very good to us here. They really appreciate us. So any questions? Pretty good. Okay, so 2022, where are we going? I'm so excited. This is where we're going. Okay, I've looked it up. It's ecclesia is the proper way to pronounce it. Ecclesia. I kept saying ecclesia. It just seems elite. But it's actually, I looked it up. I'm going, how do we pronounce this name? It's ecclesia. So I just want to take a little bit of time to, and you know, ecclesia rising is exalting Jesus. When we rise into what he's called us to be, that is exalting Jesus. So it's still the same theme. I just want to, you know, this came out of this book is how we came up with Ecclesia Rising. But I shared with the women at the women's retreat, and I think I've shared some of this with you guys before, but years ago I can remember sitting in my room with the Lord, and he said to me, "Are you willing to be transfigured?" And I mean, it was one of those questions, you know, we say yes. I think the answer to that question is yes, right? And so I never really heard anybody else talk about that until I started reading this book. And she basically talks about that. And the fact that, you know, what is ecclesia? Ecclesia is, it's us. I like the definitions that she has in here, so I want to read them to you. It's the mystical body of Christ, a people called out from the world to God. And it means the called out and separated ones. It means a people ruled by the government of God's indwelling spirit, citizens of another realm, ambassadors of the eternal kingdom of heaven. So that is who we are, right? So we have been set aside for this purpose. And to honor what Jesus has done, it's important for us to walk in the fullness of that. You know, Matthew 16:13, there's a law, and when you're studying the Word of God, one of the things that the laws that they tell you to is what they call the law of first mention. And when a word is first mentioned in the Bible, there's significance to it. So it's always the context of that, where that word is first mentioned, is important to study and look at. And when you look at the word ecclesia, it doesn't appear at all in the Old Testament. All the concept of it is in the fact that Israel was a called out nation from the rest of the world. So the concept of ecclesia, or called out ones or separated ones, is definitely in the Old Testament. But the word ecclesia is first used by Jesus, and it's in Matthew 16. And I don't have the scriptures here, so it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Now, first of all, the rock isn't Peter. The rock is the revelation that Peter had that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So on this rock, the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church, my ecclesia, my called out and separated ones will be built on that revelation. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.
Amen.
Amen. So we live in a world right now, not that they didn't in the past, but we live in a world right now, we're on the offensive on that, right? You need to understand that, right? So the gates of Hades are the gates that have trapped the rest of the people in this world into darkness. And we are the ecclesia. We are the called out ones. We are the chosen ones. We are set apart. And our job is to attack the gates of hell, and they will not prevail against us. Amen? Amen. But we can't do that in our own strength. We can't do that not understanding who we are in Christ and what he has done. And this is where this book and this, then with the Bible and everything we're going through, like even we're doing in John 14 through 17, where Jesus is outlaying like the epistles. He's creating the foundation for the fact that we are coming into, and through his death, burial, and resurrection, we, when we receive Jesus Christ, become one with him, and we now are the body of Christ on this earth. And just like the gates of hell did not prevail against him, they will not prevail against us. And our job is to pull people out from behind those gates into the kingdom of light, into the truth. That is our job. That is our call. But it comes from us knowing who we are as new creations in Christ and the fullness of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We can't do this in our own strength. We can't do this in our own wisdom. We can't, flesh and blood cannot do this. But Christ in me, he can do it. He can do it. And that is what we are here for. And the God, and I believe with all my heart that this is what the whole body of Christ is called to, but specifically this church. This church is called to be the ecclesia walking in the fullness of who we are in Christ. That is what we are absolutely called to, and we are not going to compromise that. I am not going to water down a message to make people feel comfortable. Make people feel uncomfortable. We are called to so much more than what people have settled for as far as Christianity. It is not a religion. The Christianity is the reality of the kingdom of God on this earth now. And we are the citizens of that kingdom, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And it is so. You know, 1 Peter says, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. Amen. And he says, we are sojourners and pilgrims on this planet. This is not our home. We're here as ambassadors for the kingdom of God and telling people, listen, there is another kingdom you can live in. The one you're caught in, the sin you're caught in, the filth you're caught in. It is not who you are. It is not who you are. You were called to be a son of light. You were called to be a child of God. You were created in his image and likeness. And don't settle for anything less. Amen. 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 Oh, man. Man. Hallelujah. 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 This world needs us. It needs us desperately. And we're not here to judge them because you know what? Oh, you know what our weapon is? It's love. Our weapon is the love of God for them. Our weapon is to show them what they who they really were created to be. That is our weapon. Our weapon is truth, the truth of who God created them to be, not the filth and slime and deception that they're caught in. But no, you were raised in his image and likeness. You look just like Christ when he moves in you. You look just like him. You look just like him. And that's what we're called to. And that's what our weapon is. Our weapon is truth. Our weapon is love. Amen. 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 You know, as I was meditating on all this, I just was remembering, when Pastor Randy and I first came to this area, and Kleist and Tommy Rhodes asked us to teach at Karis Bible College, and we started teaching there, and so every year when Tommy and Kleist would go to Karis for the meeting of the directors, because we taught there every week, at that time we taught every Thursday morning, we would go and teach the students for hours. And so we would go with them to those meetings. And now they don't do that anymore, just the directors go. But we were privileged to go to those. And because when we went to Colorado, it was a small school and Andrew knew us. I was a supervisor in the phone center. So we had, a minimal relationship with Andrew. But when he saw us, he knew who we were. We would talk to us, right? So he knew we were involved. At that point, we were teaching at the school. We were also involved in ministry to the homeless and poor. We did outreaches and all that. And we, you know, when we were doing that and I was about to retire, and Randy was all excited that we would be doing that full time. And then the Lord said, it's time to start a church. He's like, really, Lord? Like, we're getting something off of our plate, but you're putting something on our plate. But when we went to see, when to the last meeting we went to there, Andrew came in first thing in the morning and we did worship. And at the end of worship, he got up to speak and he called Randy and I up front. He said, Randy and Melissa, come up. So we went up front. And he said to us, he said, I just want you to know that as I was driving into the ministry this morning, I was thinking about the two of you. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said to me that it's true that you have a great gift of mercy and compassion, but you were called to raise up leaders. And if you don't do that, you will never fulfill the call of God in your life. That got our attention. So we continued for several years still ministering to the poor and homeless when we had started this church. And it just became obvious over time that there was fruit here, but there was very little fruit in the ministry to the poor and homeless. And we have a real heart for those people, but you know, unless you want change, change won't come. And there's a lot of effort and a lot of time and resources, but there wasn't a lot of transformation. And even if you saw some transformation, people would fall back into their old ways. And so at some point, we couldn't do it all, I've learned. I mean, he says you can do all things through Christ, but you can't do all things. Like, so we had to let go of the Freedom and Hope Center. And we actually officially closed it this past year. We officially did all the paperwork to actually have it. It's closed, gone. So, but I was meditating on that, what the Lord spoke to us through Andrew about the fact that we were called to raise up leaders. And we had, if you remember, when the young man from Columbia came here, he said that's what he recognized when he walked through the door. We had never told him that, but he said, this is a church of leaders. And I realized what it is. You are the leaders in the Third Great Awakening. You are the leaders in the Third Great Awakening. Amen. You are the leaders in the Third Great Awakening. Because that's what's going on right now. The Third Great Awakening has started. And there's many people who are talking about it. And so it's not about, you know, whether you stand behind a pulpit or you run a ministry or anything. It's the people who are in the forefront, the awakened ones, the awakened ones to the ecclesia rising, the awakened ones to who we really are, the awakened ones to who God is, right, are the ones who are going to lead the charge to bring other people in. And because, guess, unfortunately, I have to say this, but the church needs to wake up too. Right? The church needs to wake up too. And so, And I'm not saying we're special, right? We're just, this is our lane. This is what all the church is called to, right? So, but it's just understanding that this is what I really believe the Lord is doing. It's like you all are leaders in this third great awakening. And the privilege about all this is that we are here for such a time as this. The fact that the Lord could have put us here at any time. You know, I talked about this in the women's meeting. We could have been here during the great healing revival, or, you know, the Smith Wigglesworth, or we could have been here when Kenneth Hagin was here. And not that all those people that have gone before us haven't been awesome, but Jesus said, no, this is the time I want them to be in the world for what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a third great awakening. And these are the people that I want to be positioned here on this earth for this awakening time. What a privilege that this is what we've been chosen for. And not that there won't be challenges and difficulties, but it's because of him that we can do this. So remember, I always, you know, you guys have been with me long enough, most of you, to know this, but what is the greatest gift you can give this world? To fulfill the call of God in your life. I mean, obviously it's Jesus, right? But I mean, for your life, you know, people will talk to me about their families and their friends and all this other stuff. The greatest gift you can give your family is to fulfill the call of God on your life. It's not about trying to change everybody and get them to see. You just follow after Jesus and you do what he's called you to do and they will come. They will come. You just, that's our calling, is to fulfill the call of God. Whatever that is, in your sphere of influence, that's your job, is what is your lane, what has God called you to? And you just run in that lane and run well. And hopefully there's people running alongside you, right? And this is, so the a weapon is love. The thing I wanted to say too is like, I just feel like we're in a time right now where we're just going to set our face like flint. This is what we're called to. This is, I know. Pastor Randy, like, we know. This is what we're called to walk in the fullness of who we are and to be a testimony to the world. And this is the glory of God, right? This is, when we walk in the fullness, that glorifies God. When we walk in the fullness of who he created to be, everything that he did on that cross when he died and shed his blood for us, he paid a great price. I want him, we all want him to get the full reward for his suffering. Yeah. And his full reward is us. And he said, you know, he said that we would do greater works than him. That's right. So I said this yesterday on the Zoom call with the women. Like, he is not intimidated when you walk in greater miracles than he did. That's right. He's not so insecure that he can't handle that. He wants us to walk in greater things than he, because for an example, he couldn't get somebody born again. We can get people born again. That's greater works right there. That's the biggest miracle, to take someone out of the kingdom of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of light. Amen? Amen. Amen. Y'all good? Amen. Good. I had to preach at some point. Okay, so now some just practical. So who's the team that leads this church in this direction? That's, first of all, our board of directors. So the board of directors, some of the people had, because it's a two-year term, some of the people were renewed their term. So it continues to be Pastor myself, Pastor Randy, Jeremy, Christina is now the secretary of the board, and then May, Peggy, and Kevin Matt Radigan are on the board of directors. So they help us in guiding at the church. Our organization chart has expanded. At Amy, I'm like, Amy, can you help me? Like, where do we put all these lines? But anyway, so Pastor Randy, he's in charge of the audiovisual live stream, outreach, all that. And Jean is in charge of Teardown. And then Jerry Fix has joined, Jerry and Anita have joined the men's and women's ministry. So Jerry is his assistant when it comes to men's ministry. And then I take care of more of like the executive finance facility type stuff, human resource and the Kingdom Life groups and women's ministry. So Giselle, I mean, and not that Pastor Randy doesn't help with these, but just as a report, Giselle takes care of all, she's the church service coordinator, so all the volunteers for the church service report to her. She also leads the prayer team, and of course she does awesome teaching as well. So the church service volunteers report to her. Anita has joined us with the women's ministry, so she's helping me. And actually, what we're doing now is for the men's and women's ministry, the four of us are meeting together. So Jerry, Anita, Pastor Randy, and I all get together. And so we're really being on page with both groups to keep them going in the same direction. So So that's been really great. Emily, of course, is in charge of Kingdom Kids, and all the Kingdom Kids volunteers report to her. Pastor Jeremy and Beth run the youth ministry. They're assisted by Jean and Victoria Comrie. And then Pastor Jeremy runs the Kingdom Parents Group, and he also takes care of the facility. And whenever we have special events, these guys are always on top of helping us out with that and making sure everything. I mean, Beth makes all the centerpieces and all that stuff that I don't even think of. So, and then, of course, Christina Banks is helping us. She's doing all the financial piece of things and taking care of the paperwork for volunteers. And then Victoria takes care of like the general membership and people who come to the church and things. So she does the general thing. She takes care of the website and things like that. So they're the administrative assistants. And just wanted to make a note that all the statements for 2021 were emailed out, not this past Thursday, but the Thursday before. So if you did not get your statement, check your junk mail, because that might be where it went. So, and if you didn't get it, you can contact Christina. So, but they were all emailed out. Any questions on that? I mean, this is, look at what God's done. I mean, this is amazing to me. It's just amazing. Again, only because we said yes, that's all. And you said yes. So just really appreciate all of you. Okay, so the next thing is we have guest speakers. Andrew put us on track, yes. So we have three guest speakers coming. I'm so excited about this. So Arthur Menchez is coming April 2nd and 3rd, and he's going to be promoting and talking about his new book on identity. Well, just isn't that something? We have Brian and Sue Nutman coming. They operate strongly in the prophetic and very good. But we have Chad Gonzalez coming. This is, Giselle turned us on to Chad Gonzalez. His name is misspelled there. I realize it should be an S at the end. But he's an awesome teacher. He teaches all about healing, but it's based on identity. Everything is based on identity. Like, because you're the righteousness of God in Christ, sickness has no right to be in your body. It's very much about identity, identity, identity. So he's going to be coming and doing a session for us on June 18th and 19th. So he'll do probably several sessions on Saturday and then the church service on Sunday. So we're going to, I have to get that information to Victoria so she can get that up on the website. So, and he's, it's already up on his website, and Giselle said he already promoted it in one of his last videos. So this just happened this week, so I was really excited about that. So he'll be coming in June. We're going to continue our Kingdom Life Study Group in 2022, Wednesday nights on Zoom, so that's continuing. We're going to continue our studies here for Spirit, Soul, and Body, and God Wants You Well. Again, I'm not opposed to doing potentially a third study at some point. I wanted to also just remember, you know, again, this is, we do verse by verse and studies. Also, the chronological Bible study, there's reading programs out there. Really encourage you to do these. I'm going back to read through again. And it's just so powerful to go through the Bible every year. And just, you can just, you see things every year that is so different. And so it's very helpful. So those are on the front desk. So Men of Honor and Women of His Presence. So we're continuing that. We're going to do the books, Ecclesia Rising. And we're also doing this book, Reflecting God. These are both by Liz Wright. And there's reading guidelines out there. The schedule is out there on the table for you to take. It's also going to be on the, in the emails that you guys don't read. And and the church app. Because people will email, where is this, what time is the group? Where is the group? What are we reading? And I'm like, I send you an email every week with that information. It's on the church app. Anyway, so it's also in writing and you can tuck it in your book. So, but with the two books, we're going to be blending them together. So like yesterday we read the first couple of chapters in Ecclesia Rising, but then next month we're going to do a few sections out of this. She also has this on YouTube. You can listen to her. She's got a very anointed voice reading these to you. So I would encourage you to also listen to her, but we're going to integrate the two books together for the reading program. So that's out there. Just want to take a few minutes to talk about this because we really want to continue to strengthen this ministry and enhance relationships. So one of the things we talked about for those of you who were at the meeting yesterday, but even for those who weren't, is that we're going to start setting aside Monday evenings as kind of casual get-together days. And the first and third Monday will be for women, and the second and fourth will be for men. And they're just going to be like fun days. Not that reading the books isn't fun. I mean, that's my fun. But we'll set the Mondays aside for just like special activities. Like, well, let's go to a movie together. And whoever wants to, no obligation, but whoever wants to that Monday, get together and go out to a movie. Whoever wants to, the men will do like a beast feast. Men stuff, I don't know, like archery. Not that women can't do archery, but we're going to schedule casual things on Mondays to get together. Now, what we'd like to do is next Sunday, we want to just capture you for about 30 minutes after church, the men in one group, the women in another room, to get your ideas. Like, what kinds of things would you like to see us do on Monday nights, just as a casual, let's just get together. Again, not that you do it every Monday night that we have something, but at least you know we're meeting. Maybe want to go shopping one day. If a woman wanted to new knitting and wanted to teach people knitting, you can do that. Me, I'm a lost cause on that. I tried to make a scarf one day and it turned into a triangle. So I'm obviously was dropping a stitch everywhere. So anyway, next Sunday, just start this week. Think about different things you'd like to see the group do for fun. Right? And come with your ideas. We're just going to brainstorm and get a list from you. And then the four of us will get together and put together some kind of schedule and you can join us. The other thing is we just really want to strengthen our relationships. And whenever we have a week with a month with five Sundays, the fifth Sunday, we'll just all do something together. So that's our plan for the men's and women's meeting. Did I say everything so far? Did I miss it? Yeah, fifth Mondays will be men and women together. So the men's retreat is going to be out at Valle Cruces Conference Center. This is where the women had their retreat last year. So it's August 11th through 14th. They're not going to be in the same building. They're going to be in a different building because they're a smaller group. But the total cost is $225. $125 deposit is due by March 31st, the balance due by the end of April. And if you want to go horseback riding, it's an additional $50. I told Randy he can't do what he did last year. And just surprise the men and tell them, oh, we're doing this obstacle course. And in the sky, and like, surprise! Like, you have to tell them ahead of time what they're getting into. So horseback riding, if you'd like to do that, would be an additional $50. So, and then the women are going to be, we're going to be going out to the same place. We're going September 29th through October 2nd. Same cost, $225. The deposit's due April and May because we're in September. And two, if you want horseback riding, it's an additional $50. So that's where we're having our retreats. Now, I just want to say a little bit about the retreats too. We consider these to be kind of the highlight of the year. The retreats are such a powerful time for building relationships. If you've never been on a retreat, I'd really encourage you to come because they're really great. But just part of, again, oh, there's my little fuzzy thing. You know, we could bring in a guest speaker for our retreats. But if you're in this church, it's not a spectator sport. And I just, you know, on Sundays you sit and, you know, preach and hopefully get a lot out of the messages. But the retreats are for you to see, to build relationships with each other, but also to see how much is inside of you. And so what we do, if you sign up for a retreat, what we ask is that we take everybody in the retreat and we break you into small groups. And then in preparation for the retreat, that small group meets three times. And that group of men or women put together, like the theme is going to be Ecclesia Rising, right? That's going to be the theme. And the group gets together and they work together to do some kind of a special thing for the retreat, a presentation, sharing of testimonies, an activity, whatever it is, however the Holy Spirit leads you to manage to express Ecclesia Rising. And so we break it up. The part of that, and I know you've heard this before, those of you been here, but it's the fact that when you work in small groups, you get to know each other. When you work in small groups, iron sharpens iron. So you work through stuff. It strengthens things. By the time you get to the retreat, you've already built relationships with people in the small group. And then when you get to the retreat, those expand. But also when your group does your presentation, whatever that is, what's in you comes out. And that's what's so important to us is, and that's why even like when we do the foundations classes, I always tell our facilitators, it's not about coming together to be taught. It's about us having a discussion so you can see what you know. And the Holy Spirit can bring out in you. You can get revelation. It's so important to us that everybody participate because you need to see how the Holy Spirit works through you. And so that's a part of the retreat is signing. When you sign up for the retreat, you're also going to be invested in those three meetings before the retreat in preparation for that. Any questions on that? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was due last year by April 30th. You're late. So yeah, we'll change those. So it's by 2022. Sorry about that. Thank you for pointing that out, Teresa. Okay, so the Kingdom Parents Group in 2022, Ecclesia Rising. Look at this, Ecclesia Rising. We're raising giant killers. So that goes along with the theme. So that's the book that we're doing in the Kingdom Parents Group. And in Kingdom Kids, again, Emily's been doing an awesome job here, which her goals are to expand the leadership team. She's getting kind of more people to put together a leadership team. We're looking at, because we've gotten some older children in as well, we're looking at adding an additional classroom. And that's why I say, if we're going to have an additional classroom at some point, I wouldn't be opposed to doing a third Kingdom Life study, because we're paying for the room anyway. And then she wants to do some outside activities with the families, which I thought Kingdom Parents and the Kingdom Kids can join together and do some outside activities, like going to Marbles Museum or the Science Museum or whatever. Those are all things we had ideas for in the past, but COVID shut us down. So those are things we want to get back to doing, like going out as a group of family with the young kids, going to the park, going to a museum, whatever. And so that can be a part of the Kingdom Parents group as well as the Kingdom Kids. The youth group is going to do a book called Do Hard Things. Again, Ecclesia Rising. This is a really good book talking about the fact that in our culture, we've kind of just accepted that when people are teenagers, they just kind of are skating through and they're, you know, and then at somehow at 18 or 21, they're all of a sudden going to know how to be powerful people. And they use, in the book, they use examples about people who at very young ages did really significant things that changed their society, changed their culture, you know, that they took ownership of something and ran with it. And so that's what this book is about. And so that's what they're going to be doing in the youth group. And also they want to do two outside local activities. They're thinking of going to like First Fruits Farm with Jason Brown, you know, or doing some fun things. So that now that things have opened up, they're going to do that. And then in 2022, we have, Pastor Randy's been in conversation with Tom Rotolo and some other pastors of local churches about bringing CityQuake here. So they're really hoping they can bring them here. CityQuake is an organization that is all about kind of like power and love, kind of bringing together different churches for the purposes of, again, walking in the fullness of who we are and going out into the streets and ministering to people. So it kind of gives you a trial of it, a taste of it, so that hopefully you learn how to do it in your day-to-day life. And so Pastor Randy is working with CityQuake to do that. But he's also, my husband, if he's not outside the four walls, he gets cranky. So I'll finally say to him, one of two things. He either needs to go see Tuffy, or he needs to go out and evangelize. And if he goes to see Tuffy, they're going to evangelize anyway. So he needs to be outside the four walls. So one of the things he likes to do is for people who want to learn how to just go out and minister on the streets or in the, you know, in Walmart or whatever, is he loves to take people on that. So he hopes to be doing that more again this coming year. So, and the only other few dates we have, just to let you know, is the church picnic is September 18th. The leadership retreat is in November. The Christmas fellowship service is going to be December 18th. This is all going to be on the app and in your email. And our Christmas Eve service is December 24th, and that's actually a Saturday night. So we won't have church on Sunday, which is a little bit of a relief because doing two services is kind of challenging for a week. So any questions on the plans for this year? So what are we about? Ecclesia Rising, if we can pronounce it. You don't have to pronounce it to be able to do it, okay? So that's not a requirement. Everybody good? Any questions on anything I've shared or comments or questions? Everybody good? Everybody good. So we're very excited about this year. We know God has great things. We know, like, if you feel in any way, shape, or form that this is your church, then you are a part of the Third Great Awakening. Not that you wouldn't be in a part of another church, but that's definitely what we're geared for. That's what we're looking for. And so we just really appreciate you being here, and we're excited about what God's going to do. So...